You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Done by Law, brought to you by the Federation of Community Legal Centres.
Welcome to Done by Law on 3CR 855 AM. And also welcome to those listening via various podcast platforms or via streaming on 3cr.org.au. You're with Jimmy and Bonnie tonight, and it's just after 6 p.m. on Tuesday, the 1st of September, 2026. As always, we would like to start tonight's show by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation as the original and rightful custodians of the land that 3CR broadcasts from. We pay our deepest respects to elders past and present and acknowledge these lands were stolen, never ceded, always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Thanks so much, Bonnie. Good to have you back in the studio. I was all by myself last time. I was very lonely without you.
Oh, it's good to be back, Jimmy, but you did a fantastic job as always.
Of course, it's not just you and me tonight. We also have tonight's guest, who is Aidan McCarthy, who is a Deputy Managing Lawyer of Fitzroy Legal Services Night Service Team. Fitzroy Legal Services Night Service is a legal clinic running 5 days a week just around the corner from the studio here. I believe Aidan actually just strolled on down from work.
Sure did.
The night service, you're not on microphone yet, please. The night service provides assistance on a variety of different issues that affect community members, including family law and family violence, tenancy and housing, crime, employment, debts, and relevant to tonight's show, motor vehicle accidents. Listeners may have heard of the Fair Work Commission order last month, which imposed minimum standards for delivery employee-like workers working on digital labour platforms such as rideshare, package delivery, and food delivery apps. But what standards are there for these workers who get involved in motor vehicle accidents? And what protections, if any, exist for these workers? We've brought Aidan into the studio tonight to discuss one of his self-described bugbears he's seen through his work at the night service and how the recent Fair Work Commission order is impacting gig economy workers in our community. Thanks for joining us tonight, Aidan.
Thanks for having me.
So, Aidan, let's get into it. If you could start by talking about the recent Fair Work Commission minimum standards order for employee-like workers. So let's start with the basics. What is an employee-like worker?
Yeah, so most jobs across Australia are covered by fair work laws, so in the normal fair work laws. So we've got rules about minimum standards, you're protected from unfair dismissal, you have rights at work, those sorts of things. But those laws don't generally apply to contractors. So if you're a painter and you're working as a contractor or a subcontractor, you're often not covered by fair work laws. In early 2024, the government introduced new laws to cover this category of employee-like workers. So it relates to people who do work through a digital platform. So the main ones are, you think about like a rideshare driver, people who do care work through an app or a task-based gig worker, and then relevantly to what I'm really interested in, delivery drivers as well.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think when the Fair Work Commission kind of handed in those minimum standards last week, you know, all the articles were about or had pictures of Uber Eats drivers and things like that. But like you said, it's just a little bit broader than that. But taking us back to the order, what is the minimum standards order that's been made and what is it going to do for these employee-like workers?
So those same laws that came in at the start of 2024 also gave the Fair Work Commission power to make these minimum standard orders, and they can make orders about all sorts of different things. So payment terms, deductions that can be taken out of your pay, union membership, insurance, which is one of the things that has me interested. And this order from the 11th of August is an interim order. It only relates to delivery workers for consumables, so food, booze, drinks, and groceries. There's going to be a final order in future. The Fair Work Commission needs to decide what to do with people who do delivery driving for, like, Amazon. They do, I think it's called, like, last mile delivery. And so for the first time, we saw that there's now this minimum hourly rate of $31.30 for e-bike users, or $32 for car drivers for their engaged time, which is the time that they're actually on the job, not just like logged into the app, but actually, you know, doing a delivery pickup and then delivering the food. And it doesn't include, you know, if your car breaks down, it doesn't include that time as well. One of the other things that it requires, there's a whole bunch of things, but one of them is that these digital labour platforms, so your Uber app, your DoorDash, whatever, they are required to provide a minimum level of cover of personal accident insurance, which is basically the equivalent of work cover. If you get hurt at work, you can go on work cover. The idea with this personal accident insurance is that if a delivery driver is injured while working, they'll have access to some insurance coverage for that time that they are off work with an injury. What the minimum standards order doesn't cover and doesn't require is car accident insurance, which I think is a big hole in these minimum standards.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems like overall that these the conditions for these gig economy workers, they're sitting in a bit of a grey area for regulation and responsibility. I'm sort of interested in terms of what you see, Aidan, in your work, and if you could talk to us about what happens when it comes to accidents, motor vehicle accidents, and insurance more generally.
Yeah, it really is a grey area, and I think that was the idea with this employee-like worker category, is that they'd close some of those, I guess, loopholes, really, for people who are really undervalued and poorly paid and poorly protected workers. The minimum standards order requires that you have compulsory third-party insurance, which everyone has to have anyway if you're driving a car. So every state and territory requires this compulsory third-party insurance. In Victoria, we don't think about it because it's your TAC charge that you pay with your rego, and it covers an injury to another person. So if you hit someone with your car, it covers that. Then separately to that, if you've got a car, you can purchase either third-party property damage or comprehensive insurance. They're the two types that are normally on sale. So comprehensive insurance covers damage to someone else's car and also to your own. But both of them, importantly, in my view, cover damage to other cars and also to property. And how it works if you're both insured, if you're in an accident, is that you pay your excess if you're at fault, and then your insurers sort of talk to each other and work it out. Someone recently backed into my car, and I filled in a form on the website, and it was sort of all sorted. I took my car to the shop, they fixed it up. If you're uninsured and you're not at fault, so you didn't cause the accident, you're kind of at the mercy of what has happened to you, in a sense. And so your car gets damaged, or it might get written off. It's no longer drivable, and you sort of have to sort it yourself. You either have to pay for it to get fixed yourself or deal with this sort of hunk of junk that you've now got. If you're uninsured and the accident is or might have been your fault, it can cause really huge problems for people. It can actually be kind of financially ruinous because my car's not worth very much, but cars in general are quite expensive. And if you cause an accident with someone else's car, or you drive through their fence, you might be looking at them coming after you for a lot of money. The way that normally works, I see a lot of this at our night service, working with community members, is normally you'll get an insurer or a lawyer writing to you and demanding that you pay up for the damage that they say you've caused. An insurance company then might chase you by sending it to a debt collector. And then you have a debt collector hounding you. The main power that debt collectors have is to be annoying and to call you at 6:30 in the morning and bother your friends and neighbours about you. But what's worse, I think, than a debt collector is you might get sued. You might get sued for causing a car accident. Mm-hmm. And if you're insured, normally it doesn't happen. Your insurer's usually sorted it out. But if you're not insured, in Victoria, the way it works is that someone will sue you in the magistrate's court. Mm. And you're looking at sometimes huge amounts of money. You're looking at the paying for the damage. You might have to pay for someone else's hire car while their car was getting fixed. Mm. And the other thing that goes on top of it is by the time it ends up in court, you're also looking at paying for the other driver's lawyers who are suing you. Mm-hmm. So it ends up sometimes being these huge amounts of money. I mean, I regularly see people with like $15,000.
Wow.
And anything more than $10,000, if you lose at court, you have that audit against you and you don't pay it because you don't have $15,000, they can bankrupt you, right? Mm. So it can be really, really, it can put you in a really difficult position where you're at a lot of risk if you're not insured.
Mm. And I suppose at the same time, like in the context of employee like workers and delivery drivers, this is on top of the fact that you've just had your vehicle that you use to earn an income, a relatively stable income, particularly after these minimum standards are imposed. But all of a sudden you've lost all source of income as well. So it kind of immediately throws you down this black hole of vulnerability that it's going to be really difficult to climb out of, particularly without an income.
Yeah, totally. And like I said before, I mean, this category of employee-like worker, they are in one sense kind of the backbone of our society now. Yeah. You know, like everyone has got an Uber home from a night out or had them bring food at some point.
Yeah.
And so for these sorts of workers, they are this backbone of our society, but they're like quite poorly paid. Mm. And I'd be surprised if there are, you know, lots and lots of this category of employee-like worker who have significant savings. Like it is not, it's not huge amounts of money, even with this new minimum standards order.
Yeah. Mm. And just before we go to the break, I just also wanted to check. So you said there was an interim order that's been imposed. So is that enforceable today? Like, does Uber have to now pay everyone that minimum wage? And I guess if they don't, you can take them to Fair Work? Or what's the situation there in terms of the immediate impact those minimums, that minimum standard order had on employee-like workers?
Yeah, I don't know what the starting date was. I think it might have been today, like the 1st of September.
Oh, fantastic.
but so I did some delivery driving a few years ago. I still have an account. I got an email about it the other day saying, you know, this is starting soon. And so how it works out is that if you don't get paid the equivalent of $31.30 an hour for your time, then they have to give you a makeup payment. And if they don't do that, that is something that you can go to Fair Work with or, you know, get from them if they don't pay up the difference.
Yeah. So maybe not, and if they're not doing that, I guess not immediately revolutionary because you have to kind of take those next steps in asserting your rights, but at least it gives you rights to argue before the Fair Work or otherwise.
Yeah, I think, you know, as lawyers, we rarely see something that gives you an immediate answer. Yeah. Often you have a right to do something. It's the getting from point A to point B is often the problem.
Different, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so many things to talk about. Got many more questions, but we're approaching now half time on Done By Law. So we'll go to a community service announcement and we'll be back shortly.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Welcome back to Done By Law on 3CR Community Radio, You're with Jimmy and Bonnie tonight. And we also have Aidan McCarthy in the studio, who is a deputy managing lawyer at Fitzroy Legal Service. And tonight we are discussing the minimum standards for employee-like workers and the issues facing those who drive for Uber, Amazon, food delivery and other online apps and websites.
Yeah, so, and before the break, we discussed how these employee-like workers, I keep flipping my fingers in the studio, yeah, which is probably not translating.
I can see it.
Probably not translating to audio, but it is a funny concept. Are often finding themselves on the hook for accidents occurring during their work, and even where they may not be at fault. And we kind of talked about how it can be financially ruinous and really turn your life on its head in the spite of a moment. So, Aidan, how do these employee-like workers get insurance for these kinds of accidents?
So, you can get car insurance.
Yeah.
You. I think you're often supposed to get a different sort of insurance. Like, there's a slightly different cover for people who are doing delivery work, or especially for doing sort of Uber driving or DD driving. Mm. But you can just get normal car insurance that, you know, you see ads for car insurance on TV. But then we have this sort of particular Victorian problem, and this is the bugbear that you mentioned right at the start that I've got, where people get this sort of bogus insurance from rideshare clubs or taxi clubs. So with normal insurance, you pay a monthly premium, which is sort of like your membership fee, and as long as you've paid your premium, you're covered normally. And you can normally claim on your insurance. You have to pay an excess sometimes, which is basically paying a fee for them to, insure you or indemnify you. Mm-hmm. And they pay the rest. Mm-hmm. So when I was in my recent car accident, I pressed the wrong button. I paid an excess of, I think, $600. And then ultimately it was actually not my fault, the car accident. So they gave me my $600 back, but they paid for fixing my car up. And so all of those insurers that you see on TV have a license to give an insurance product or to provide an insurance product. So in Australia, you need to have a license. I can't just go and open an insurance business. I'd have to get a license to do that. And as I said, in Victoria, we've got this kind of, it seems to only happen in Victoria, problem where there's these clubs, taxi clubs, rideshare clubs, who offer either insurance or something that sounds a lot like insurance. It's a real sort of walks like a duck, quacks like insurance. they call it cover or assurance cover, but it is basically the same product.
Are you saying assurance?
Assurance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very similar, but
yes.
Not the same.
Yes, yep. That's right. And so these, in the main, most of the time, these are... they are clubs. They're called clubs because they're incorporated associations rather than companies. The difference is kind of like boring even for lawyers, I think. But the real detail that matters is a company normally has as one of its main purposes getting profit for shareholders, and incorporated associations cannot have as one of their purposes getting profit for their members. And so what happens is drivers of various types, but I guess customers of these clubs sign up for a membership or cover, and they pay this sort of membership or subscription. And it works kind of like a premium for insurance. Mm-hmm. And you pay a monthly fee, and then you're required to pay an excess if there's an accident. And then typically what we see happen, and I've spoken to some colleagues who work at other community legal centres, it happens sort of across Victoria, you paid your excess and then these clubs sort of fail to do anything. Or worse, they will tell you, we're going to sort it, you don't need to do anything, and then they don't do anything about it. And often what happens is it leads to the driver who is supposed to be the insured person, supposed to be paying for their insurance, getting sued by the owner of the other car because the owner of the other car wants the money to get their car fixed. And so this person who thinks that they're insured faces all of the risks of an uninsured driver, and those risks that we were talking about before, you know, the financial ruin that comes from that, leading even to people looking at bankruptcy.
Yeah. God, it's so cruel. It's reminding me of the Aboriginal funeral insurance schemes and things like that.
Yeah,
these, true. Yeah, people just preying on... you know, people in such a vulnerable state. And insurance is so confusing. It's hard to know what you're actually, you know, signing up for and what the terms are. It's very easy to end up in kind of mistaking one of these schemes for proper insurance. That's really scary that's happening. So I guess, you know, with all these issues that you're seeing at the coalface in your work at Fitzroy Legal Service, I'm interested, you know, what is regulating this space and these issues? I understand, is it quite a unique situation in Victoria?
Yeah, I'm not aware of it happening interstate. I did my legal training in Queensland and I worked as a lawyer there before moving down here. I've asked some friends, they've never heard of this as a concept. It does seem to be a like homegrown Victorian problem, which is nice to have something of our own. Other companies are regulated by ASIC, the Australian Securities and Investments Commission. They have rules about what companies are allowed to do, basically. These clubs, because they are not companies, are not regulated by ASIC. Real insurers, normal insurers, are members of this kind of like an ombudsman. It's called the Australian Financial Complaints Authority, AFCA. And so if you have a problem with a bank or someone who offers a financial service or your insurer, you can go and complain to AFCA and they can sort of try and resolve your complaint. And they do a lot of good work with that. These clubs aren't AFCA members, so they're not caught by AFCA at all. In Australia, like I said, you need a license to deliver an insurance product. And so there's this other government agency, a lot of acronyms, sorry, which is APRA, the Australian Prudential Regulation Authority. Right. Don't really know what the word prudential means on its own, but in this context, it's a regulator of insurers and banks, I think. And so they regulate insurers in Australia and they give them licenses to give insurance, but I'm not aware of them really doing anything about it. And Consumer Affairs, they regulate taxi clubs sort of doubly because they run the register of incorporated associations and because they deliver a product or service in Victoria, Consumer Affairs deals with them. And we know that they take complaints about them. We know that they sometimes will sort of mediate disputes between drivers and taxi clubs, but I'm not aware of like a crackdown on this sort of dodgy industry.
Well, we're at the point of the show where we try and get some hope for the future rather than just diving into despair, because it does sound like a really difficult situation for and kind of spurious in terms of how these taxi clubs, as you call them, can kind of avoid proper regulation. But what do you think Victoria needs in terms of further standards or reform? Like, what would you like to see? And is this just your bugbear, or do you think there's broad appeal for this? Or have you spoken to others about this as well?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken with some colleagues in some other centres. I don't think I'm out on my own. Some of my colleagues at the night service also feel similarly strongly about these sort of taxi and rideshare clubs. I guess I'd like to see APRA investigate these sort of what I think are probably, it's probably illegal because you've got to have this license to give insurance. Like I said before, it quacks like insurance. Like it is an insurance product as far as I'm concerned. And I'd like to see a bit more, punch from Consumer Affairs in regulating these problems, because it's really affecting lots of people. And I only know about the people that come and see me, There are so many people, I think, who are missing out on getting help who are also running into this sort of trouble.
Yeah. So do you think, in terms of what you see is needed to happen, this crackdown, is there much hope for that at present?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know about the crackdown. I think there's some hope. I mean, it is a pretty diabolical situation, right? Like, you've got people who think that they are insured. They think they've done everything right.
Yeah.
And they're not getting the help that they have paid for. And the other concern I've got is that, like, a lot of people who are rideshare and delivery drivers, it's a relatively low bar to entry to start. They let me do it, and I have no professional experience driving. And we get a lot of people who are sort of new arrivals to Australia. They start this job and they're just doing what seems natural, like you said, insurance is really difficult to understand.
So hard, yeah.
I'm aware of some drivers having success in having taxi clubs honour their contracts and actually, you know, do the insurance thing, pay for the damage that has been caused. But it's really case by case. Like, it is a real slog, and people really have to, like we were talking before about the minimum standards orders, people have these rights, but like, you really got to take them up yourself.
Yeah. And the complexity of navigating, yeah, the different ways of taking it. So I think we're actually almost out of time.
Yeah. Tonight. Just before we go, how can people, should we just put your mobile phone number on the air, or how can people get help if they find themselves in a tight spot with these issues?
Yes, I'm not going to give you my mobile phone number to put on the air, but people can always talk to Consumer Affairs if they've got problems. And if they've got an actual insurer or someone else's insurer is being dodgy, they can contact AFCA, they can contact the National Debt Helpline. But I would always say it's worth contacting your local community legal centre for help, especially if you're sued and people can get legal advice about what is a legal problem.
Fantastic. Well, Aidan, thank you so much for coming in. We're really, really big fans of the work that you and the rest of the team at Fitzroy Legal Service do. You're always welcome back anytime to discuss any more bugbears or anything else that comes up within your team. You've been listening to Done by Law on 3CR 855 AM and streamed at 3cr.org.au and available on various podcast platforms. Done by Law will be back again next Tuesday at 6 PM as always.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.